Chris Murray is back on the plains. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Barn Social Hour. My name's Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. And guess what? It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Sorry if you're on audio. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry for all the headphone users, too. I know that probably sucked.
Oh, man. It's hump day. It's hump day, ladies and gentlemen. And
hump.
Mike. No, I'm just kidding. Chris Murray, as I said at the top of the show, is back on the plains. He was deemed eligible for another year of college football with the Auburn Tigers.
And guess what? We did it the proper way.
Yeah. It's almost like we did it by the rule book. What?
He asked the NCAA nicely. It took some time. They're like, you know what? You did this by the books. Here you go. Here's your another year. You're not suing us? Here you go. I'm just kidding. I have no idea if that's how that happened.
You're not a pro yet? Yeah, you can come back. Yeah. Chris Murray back on the plains. It's official as of yesterday. Lots of reports coming out on it now that it is official. Graham, what does this mean for a defensive line room that honestly needed it?
What really needed it, what's so important about this is he's an edge. Mm-hmm. And that's bringing, you know, a senior, veteran edge to the room. And someone that did play quite a bit last year and had some really good moments. So, this position of edge was one that, you know, we were having so many questions about like how successful they'd be. Also, we had, you know, Caleb Falk, and we have Jared Smith, who I'm super, super excited for. We've talked about multiple times on here. Well, he plays more interior, but there's so many questions that we had to get answered about this edge room, and bringing him back is just so, so, so massive. I mean, he had last year at 8 solo tackles, 3.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. And like, he was not the number one guy. I mean, last year, obviously you had Keldrick and Keyron and some other guys, but that's to have that coming back and be such a veteran is so, so exciting. If you didn't know a little bit about Chris Murray, he spent some time, I think it was at Sam Houston. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he spent his first couple years at Sam Houston. And then last year was his first year with the Tigers. And yeah, like I said, 8 solo tackles, 7 assists, 3.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. So super, super excited to have him back. It really answers a lot of questions about this edge room.
Yeah, Graham, call me crazy, but that sounds like a difference maker to me.
100%. I mean, an answer if you prayer could have, in a way. Yeah, if you could have Chris Murray and like Jared Smith on both ends, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with that. Because I'm expecting Jared Smith to make that massive jump this year. You know, the freshman, the sophomore jump.
Me too.
I'm really expecting him to make that jump kind of like Keldrick Falk did after his freshman year. So hopefully that's the case. And then if we have Chris Murray coming back too, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable with this edge room.
Yeah. And it's what's crazy is too, yes, it helps add, you know, some much needed depth to the defensive line, but just the defense as a whole now, like we got a unit, man. We do. That defensive unit is going to be nasty with Durkin at the helm doing his thing. I've said this before back when Durkin was the interim. I think he's a better coordinator than he is a head coach. And that's no shade to Durkin. But, I mean, our defensive, you know, I guess progress, if you will, once he took the helm as the interim coach, kind of digressed a little bit. And based off what I saw, you know, when we were at the practice, linebackers looked fresh. They looked good. The DBs looked good. Defensive line, where I was at mostly, looked good. So I'm very excited. I really am. I think it's going to add, again, much needed depth to an already pretty stacked defense. And I'm really excited to see how this plays out for Durkin's crew on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, kind of like, you know, I guess and people are asking like, oh, how did we, you know, how did we get him back out? You know, well, apparently it was a medical red shirt. And
so he submitted a waiver to the NCAA to get a extra year. He started college back during COVID, so he had a COVID year. And then also at one point he got hurt at Sam Houston and didn't play, you know, and he thought in enough games really for it to count as a year of eligibility. And so he asked for, you know, a medical red shirt, you know, to count that year out. And we see that, I mean, that happens quite a bit. You know, there's talks about Horatio Fields trying to get one for last year for like this coming season because of, you know, his foot. Alex McPherson's had multiple because of his issues. So
yeah,
it's not super uncommon for guys to get red shirt or medical red shirts. But yeah, so I think that's the case there. And so he, you know, requested another year from the NCAA and they agreed to it. And so, yeah, that's how he is going to be able to play for the Tigers this fall.
Yeah, you know, the NCAA, with all the drama they've had to deal with in the offseason, whether it, you know, be Ole Miss quarterback stuff or Bediako, you know, all this stuff with people saying they're going to file injunctions and sue and all that. Mm-hmm. This one came across their desk with Chris Murray being like, yes, yes, he's doing it by the book. Yes, just go ahead. Go on through. It's really cool to see that, and I'm glad he's back. Again, it's an answered prayer in a way just for to have more depth on that defensive line. I think it's going to be the defensive line is going to be one of those that we'll see how good they are in the first game against Baylor, I think. And, you know, it's not going to be one of those where, well, maybe, you know, once we get an SEC play. No, I think it's going to be one of those do or die games, how good our pass rush is. And during
you see all that stuff that came out about DJ Lagway in the last 24 hours?
No.
So, and I'm really not going to comment too much on this because I really can't say anything, but there's just there, and I feel Baylor fans' pain, basically, is what I'm saying. So there's video that I think they must have just started their spring training in the last couple of days. Well, there's videos coming out of DJ Lagway throwing the ball at their practice, and the dude, as of right now, cannot throw a good spiral. It is just a wobbly ball every single throw. He's throwing ducks. And so many like media personalities on Twitter and stuff and whatever is like, uh-oh, should Baylor fans be worried about this? Like, he is not throwing the ball well. And, like, the reason why, like, I feel for Baylor fans, look, it was the first day of practice.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like, that's not a super, you know, pleasing, like, sight to see that he's not being able to throw a consistent spiral. But first day of practice, you know, in a new place, like, just give him a break. If we're a week into practice and he's still not, then you can look. Then I'll be concerned. But I just thought it was funny how.
No, it's crazy.
We're playing them week one, and we were both having to deal with all this stuff.
Hey, it could be worse.
Auburn and Baylor fans bonded last year.
Yeah,
like jokingly, like, I mean, like the whole lead, because, you know, we had to talk about the Baylor game for forever leading up to the season because I was like, oh, we just need to play football. And so it was just constantly Baylor and Auburn fans going back and forth at each other on social media leading up to the game. And then I know so many Baylor fans were super excited to get to come to Auburn this coming year. Obviously, that's no longer happening. We're playing in Atlanta. But it just seemed like any Auburn fan that went to Waco had a pretty good time and met some good people. And then now these Baylor fans were wanting to come to Auburn and also experience our side of it. And so, sucks we're in Atlanta, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, that game is strictly, I think, just for NIL for both sides, personally. Yeah. But that's the whole reason they agreed to it. But the whole Lagway thing, I'll comment on that real quick. It could be worse. Your quarterback could have a hitch, and it could be the end of the world, according to most media outlets locally.
Social media was not being nice to DJ Lagway. They were sounding the alarms like they did with Byram. So,
I mean, goodness gracious. You think a little hitch that threw for 3K would be the start of World War III over here. My goodness gracious. With our Twitter feeds. My goodness. But yeah, it's going to be that game's going to be fun regardless. I know it's in Atlanta, but again, the game last year lived up to the hype. It was like one of those, you know, first, you know, kickoff games, regardless of what fan base you were. It was like, ah, college football's back, and the atmosphere was great. The presentation was great if you watched it on TV. I'm sure if you went to the game, I know a lot of Auburn fans went to the game in Baylor last year, and they said it was a lot of fun, got to experience and got to meet some people, like Graham was saying. So it is a bummer that's not in Auburn. But again, I think both sides are going to benefit NIL wise, and, or, you know, Auburn will benefit pretty good from this, regardless of what happens. But I do think we win. I'm not, you know, I'm not worried about this game, but I'm not just like being like, well, Auburn should sleep on Baylor. No, I think Golish is going to have them battle ready and ready to hit somebody. Like Byram said, he's going to be violent as soon as the whistle's blown. So I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready for A Day to be here. You know what else I'm ready to be here in? That made no sense. Roback. Go to roback.com. Use code BARN20 on your next order. The hoodie you see on your screen now, very comfortable. Me and Graham have the navy version of it, but it is getting a little bit warmer around here, especially if you live in Alabama. They got some solid Auburn polos, officially licensed gear to other colleges as well. So again, use code BARN20 to get 20% off your next order at roback.com. We love Roback a lot on here. We're very thankful for their partnership, and we're very thankful that they want to help sponsor the Barn Social Hour. So thank you so much, Roback. I don't know what that segue was. I was like having a stroke. I can hardly talk. My throat is jacked up. For those that, excuse me, for those that don't know, I stream as a hobby on like the side on some nights of the week, primarily on Sunday nights. And last night might have been the funniest stream I've ever had in terms of like what we did. And I laughed and yelled so hard for a solid 2 hours straight. And my throat is just dying today. It's like a desert. It doesn't matter what I drink or what I, try to do to make it feel better. It's just that time of year too, so it's not helping when it's hot cold outside with a combination of laughing and yelling. So you know what else we're going to be laughing and yelling tonight with the Barncast? We have a Barncast tonight, 8 p.m tip off. We are playing Nevada in the NIT. I think if I'm remembering right, this is the last home game. If we win we move
this is
on
the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
this is the Elite Eight. We win this, we head to the Final Four, which, like Hunter said before, is in Indianapolis.
Yeah, is this the Elite Eight? I'm trying to think.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So it's not a bigger field than the NCAA tournament.
It's smaller. I think it's only 32. I think.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Whenever I got that text, I was like, but that is correct. It is a smaller field. So. But yeah, we're playing Nevada, tip off at 8, Barncast. I will be on there second half.
32 times.
Okay, cool. It's funny that it's in Indianapolis, same place where the Final Four is this year too. It would be hilarious. If we pull it off and somehow Steven makes it there. Steven made it to Indianapolis after all. After all the crap that's been going on this season, it'd be crazy. But I will plan on being on the Barncast second half. I got to catch some friends that are coming through town tonight that are moving to Nashville. So moving from Mobile to Nashville. Something's in the water in Nashville, man. I swear everyone's moving up there lately. But yeah, again, going to be fun. The freshmen are hot right now on the team. Sway has been playing phenomenal, especially last game. My goodness, there was one play where it was like it almost mirrored itself three times in a row, back to back to back. It was like just a simple bounce pass down low in the paint, and he just slammed it and moved on and rinse and repeat two more times after. I'm hoping Tahad will step up in this game. We need just a little bit of better guard play. Magwood had an okay game. Do what?
So Nevada's no pushover.
No, they're not. This is no Seattle U or South Alabama for sure. They're going to have to be on their A game tonight. I'm hoping that if we somehow, lay an egg, people won't be like, well, Hunter didn't go. That's what we lost. Well, yeah, I know. It is what it is. But can't go to every game. Can't go to every game. Me and Graham had fun at the USA game and pulled them through, and then had fun at the Seattle U game, which was a lot of fun too. So, but yeah, I'm hoping either Tahad or Keyshawn Hall step up, and hopefully Sway can keep the momentum going like he did last game. Because I don't know about you, I think Sway's finally starting to hit his stride just a little bit. And Kevin Overton too is, I think right now, if I were to pick a player that has, the hot hand, going into this game, I would say it's Kevin Overton. I guess. I don't know if you agree with that or not. Where are you at on that?
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, I really didn't get to watch much of the last game. I really just saw the end of it. But it feels like, in critical moments, he has been able to kind of get hot a little bit so far. I mean, during this tournament, I mean, obviously the South Alabama game, second half,
popped Bro off. Went
stupid. We had 7 threes, you know, just second half alone and ended with 21 points. And then obviously, I mean, I'm assuming he did pretty well in, you know, against Seattle.
He did.
So it seems like so far this tournament, the MVP that I would pick for this tournament would be Kevin Overton.
Yeah. Let's play a little what if game. I know we've done that a lot on this show in regards to basketball. Just say, what if we don't pull it out tonight and we lose? Hopefully we won't, but just say if we do, right? Who, if you're Stephen Pearl, if Graham McLean is Stephen Pearl, who is priority number one? We have to keep him on this roster.
I think Overton.
Yeah. I'm leaning.
But there's more, also a case for Freeman.
Yeah. I was leaning more towards Freeman, but the way Overton has played in this tournament, and Brett, we were, you know, talking to Brett after the, I can't remember if it was after South Alabama or Seattle U, but he was saying, you get Kevin Overton, a decent point guard, he could be a Miles Kelly type of shooter next season with Auburn. Yeah. If he decides to stay,
also,
keep him.
He's just been such a leader on this team.
He has. You
know? He's been one of the more vocal guys to be a leader on this team. He is one of the older ones in the room.
He is.
So, I mean, I'd love to keep him and love to have him available. Freeman's young, isn't quite that big of a leader yet. Mm-hmm. I think that he's got the capabilities of it, but I mean, I love his basketball. And then obviously I think my third would be Sweat. I think my top three right now would be Overton with a very close second, Freeman, mm-hmm. and then Sway third.
Yeah. I think we're on the same page on that. I would like to keep Jovic, but I just feel like those three in particular are going to be the ones that, you know, as far as development goes, especially with Freeman, he can jump out of the gym. All he need, if he can just get a consistent jumper, holy cow, that would be dangerous if we can keep him too. And I know there's some rumors going around about some other schools, especially in conference and SEC, that might be trying to throw some cheddar at him. You know, once the season is officially over, we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting offseason for sure, especially like outside of Auburn. I don't know if y'all have kept up with some of the coaching carousel news today, but you know, North Carolina got rid of their coach, and then there was a rumor going, which by the way, I don't think that'll be vacant for long. I think that's a very sought after. I mean, it's North Carolina, for God's sakes. It's one of the meccas in college basketball. I don't care what their success has been the past few years. It's still North Carolina. Another one that was really interesting and a little odd, there was a report that Bill Self was going to retire.
Which I've heard was not true. I've heard.
Yes. So
I think he came a comment and said that I have not decided my future yet with the right program, but what you've heard is not true.
Right. He basically said it's BS to ESPN. We'll see how that plays out. That's going to be interesting. I know St. John's fans are like, wow, we beat Kansas so bad. We retired Bill Self, the great Bill Self. And that's another one of those schools that'll be, you know, if that rumor is true, if he is thinking of mulling retirement, which I don't think he would. I don't know how old Bill Self is.
I have not decided my future yet with the program. Kind of sounds like oh, he might have been thinking about it, and mm-hmm. then like it got leaked, and now he's like trying to play damage control. Mm-hmm. Just like, I mean, saying I haven't decided my future yet, like you either be like, what? Like, no, I'm coaching here next year. What do you mean?
Yeah.
But saying that, I'm like, maybe he is thinking about it, but I really don't know. I don't follow Kansas football. I mean, Kansas basketball like that.
Yeah. So. I'm curious to see who fills the role at UNC with Herb Davis being gone. There's rumors going around about Nate Oates. I don't think he leaves Bama personally. I could be wrong about that, but I just don't see him doing that. People are like, well, what about Todd Golden? I don't see Todd Golden doing that. I don't care if they just got eliminated or not. He won a national championship last year with Ford. I don't think he's leaving. I think my two that I could see potentially filling that role come from the NBA. And you're going to be like, who would that be? Billy Donovan, who used to coach at Florida. He's currently with the Bulls, and I know he's tired of fighting for the eighth, you know, seed playing game every year with Chicago. The Bulls have not been good since Derrick Rose. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. And honestly, they haven't been a big championship contender since Jordan was there in the 90s. So,
yeah,
it's, you know, that's their situation. Another name that I honestly would love to see back in college basketball, Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
That would be a fun, I honestly, if he gets hired, that would be a fun coach to follow.
I just have a hard time seeing him leave being a GM for the Celtics.
Yeah, that's also true.
I do. I'd be sick if Brad Stevens did come back to coach, but like dropping from, you know, being a GM of one of the most successful NBA franchises of all time, who just came off a title win, like what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
To back to being in college. I just don't see that happening. I don't know. I really do feel like Todd Golden or Nate Oates, their name could be in the mix. I mean, like,
it's definitely in the mix.
It's UNC. Like, I mean, like, yeah, you might be successful at Alabama. Yeah, you might be successful at Florida. But, like, if UNC comes calling, one of the greatest programs in all of college basketball history.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, if you, like, you should be able to win a championship with, with UNC. Like, you have everything you need. You have the history, you have the money. Brand. You have the brand. Yeah, you have the brand. You have the alumni. I mean, heck, Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
is your alumni? I mean, and there's so many more, but that's just to name one. But
yeah,
I just feel like that the UNC job has to be so enticing if you're a college basketball coach.
Oh yeah, I mean,
obviously, if you get there and you start failing, then like you're gonna have a target on your head really quickly because that program expects to win, and they expect. I mean, like, well, I can't say the last time UNC made a Final Four. It's been a minute.
It has.
Or not necessarily Final Four, but won a championship. It's been a minute. And so, yeah, I don't know. It would be really interesting to see what route they go for head coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Todd Golden and Nate Oates is definitely going to be in the mix. I just don't see, like, especially Alabama, I don't see them letting him walk personally. Because, like, who are they going to get? You know, what coach are they going to steal from another school to come to Alabama? You know what I mean? Like, yes, Alabama's had great success under Nate Oates, but as far as like brand goes, I don't see an Alabama basketball team outweighing North Carolina. Like when you say North Carolina, I immediately think of Michael Jordan hitting the game-winning shot in the national championship, you know, back in 1983. I think of when, or 84, whenever it was. I think of that, even though they lost the game to Villanova to buzzer beater, I think of Marcus Paige hitting that weird circus three against Villanova to, you know, put them up by one or something like that. I mean, you have so many memories with UNC and like memorable moments.
I think of
where the school.
When I think of UNC, I think of Duke UNC. I mean, I think like without it, without, and I'm like, I care. I get an Auburn. I'm an Auburn fan, but without hesitation, I can easily say that Duke UNC is the greatest college basketball rivalry of all time.
Oh, like, easily. Easily.
Like, hands down, like, if anyone comes to me and is like, hey, no, Auburn, Alabama is up there, I'm like, yeah, maybe in the last 2 years, but historically, Duke UNC is, I mean, like, that's a rivalry you want to play in. Like, that's a rivalry you want to coach in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I just, that job just has to be so enticing. If you're like, if you are currently a successful college basketball coach at a different program, and you're like, dude, I'm already like, I'm pretty good. I've made a name for myself. I'm not like a new guy, but I've made a name for myself. I can hop into UNC and have everything I need. I have all the stuff I need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not take that? The money's going to be there too. I mean, they're going to pay you. I mean, they got the money. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see.
It's fun to see how it plays out. I mean, I love whenever, I'm one of these people, and this might be weird. I think it's just the sports geek in me. But whenever there's like a free agency, you know, like coverage, whether it's NBA, NFL, when there's coaching carousels like this one with UNC and potentially Kansas.
Even the SEC this in football this year, or just in college football in general, the coaching carousel was insane this year.
Yeah, and I know it was Alabama, but whenever Saban retired, that was interesting.
Who's Bama going to get? Who's going to be the predecessor to Saban?
Yeah, who's going to step in those shoes? You know what I mean? Like, That's great. And like, I'm an Auburn fan, but I mean, you got to respect Nick Saban as the greatest coach ever for college football.
I looked up Brad Stevens, and there's multiple, you know, it just brings up top stories for people. There's multiple articles. Literally every single one of these articles says Celtics Brad Stevens reportedly non-treated North Carolina job. Sorry, UNC, but Celtics Brad Stevens was never walking through that door. And then another one, Brad Stevens quickly removes himself from consideration in North Carolina coaching search.
Well, there you go. That hurts. So, that hurts. I like Brad Stevens going. I like Brad Stevens a lot.
That's from New York Times, CBS Sports, Yahoo Sports. So that's like valid. That's real.
Yeah. I'm not a Celtics fan, but whenever he was coaching Isaiah Thomas, not the one from the Pistons, the Isaiah Thomas of my generation, when he was with the Celtics in 2017, 2016, 2017, when the Eastern Conference Finals was Cavs Celtics every year, right before Cavs Warriors, that's what it felt like. But I enjoyed those teams a lot, watching Brad Stevens coach that team and Isaiah Thomas specifically. It was a lot of fun. But I really like, and you brought it up too, like the brand that UNC has, it goes so much further than the name. It goes with so many things like rivalries. And the fact that a college basketball team rivalry is in the rafters with other like just basketball as a whole, like Lakers Celtics, Bulls Pistons, Cavs Warriors, and then UNC and Duke. Like that's alone is enough for somebody. Like if they come knocking to your door, yeah, I'll consider it, or yeah, I'll take it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I if I'm Nate Oates or Todd Golden, I definitely would at least look at it. You know what I mean?
Oh, but, you have to.
Yeah, you have to. But I just, me personally, as far as Alabama and Florida go, I just don't see them letting them walk willingly. But I don't know what UNC's pocketbook and their donors are willing to spend, considering their football program is a complete dumpster fire with Bill Belichick and the Barbie doll girlfriend, psychotic person that she is, that they have that show running over there. I mean, that was
golly.
She is, let's be real. Homegirl is a control freak with Bill Belichick, who should be regarded as one of the greatest football coaches ever, and he's been turned into a walking joke because of this relationship. Considering she's not even like, wasn't she like banned from the UNC football facility at one point?
Was that ever true? I don't think that was ever true.
It's still a circus, and I feel like their donors are like, all right, let's get back to what UNC is good at, and that's basketball. So I don't expect that position, especially, well, I mean, UNC and Kansas. If Bill Self does retire, I don't expect that to be vacant for long, but UNC especially, I expect that potentially maybe next week, maybe end of the week. Yeah, who knows?
We'll see. I mean, you know, obviously, like if it's a coach coaching right now in the tournament,
they're not going to be able to talk to him. Yeah,
it won't. Nothing will happen of that. I mean, agents can talk, but we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch for sure. But again, like we talked about at the top of the show, Chris Murray is back. That's the big thing as far as Auburn goes. That is honestly a blessing, and honestly an answered prayer for a lot of people concerned about defensive line, especially some of the people in the coaching staff that were interviewed about it prior to him announcing he was back. So we're glad he's back. It's going to be fun. I'm ready for A-Day. I'm ready for football season. Baseball is hot right now, I know, but the football season, I'm ready to see what Golish and company have cooked up for the fans. I'm very, very excited. But Graham, you got anything else you want to add?
Yep.
Cool. Well, again, like and subscribe if you are new to the barn. We love to have you. We have other great podcasts like the Top Button Podcast with Charlie Five, a.k.a. Kyle Rush, Village Vice with Zach Blackerby and Brad Law, and the Baseball Show, with Lindsey Crosby, Brad Law, and Sonny DeShera occasionally. And this one, The Barn Social Hour with me, Hunter Bussey, and Graham McLean. As always, it's been fun. It's been real. War Dam. We will see y'all on the Barncast here soon. If you're watching this, hop on over and chill for a little bit, and we'll be on soon. Yeah. So
it should be about 30 minutes from now.
Yeah, I will see y'all second half for sure. And
see y'all. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully you can make it. If not, no worries. We completely understand. But as always, War Dam, and we will see y'all next time.
Goodbye.